I'm Shersha Mizan from Hudson. You are listening to WGXC Accra 90.7 FM. Thank you.
The rock band NRBQ, or the New Rhythm and Blues Quartet, performs at the Bearsville Theater in Woodstock at 8 p.m. Friday, August 27th. It's one of the many events on the WGXC community calendar online at wgxc.org, where you can add your own event by pressing the Add an Event button if you go there, or just peruse all the listings of various things to do, like lectures, performances, films, plays, town hall meetings, and more on the WGXC community calendar online at wgxc.org.
WGXC underwriting support is provided in part by Greenville Drive-In 32, a destination for movies and music under the stars of the Northern Catskills since 1959. Seasonal programming information at drivein32.com or 518-966-2177.
WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Food New York. Sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. You too can become a WGXC sustaining supporter by investing in community radio every month. Go to wgxc.org and click donate. Thank you for your support.
90.7 FM.
Accra, Hudson, Catskill.
Welcome, radio listeners. You're listening to Bound by Books Youth Radio on WGXC 90.7 FM, Accra, Catskill, and Hudson, listener-supported radio for open ears. I'm Emily. I'm the director of the Hudson Area Library, and I'm from Hudson.
I'm Fahim. I'm 16 years old, and I'm also from Hudson.
My name is Fatih, and I'm also from Hudson, and I'm 7.
And we're here every week talking about books.
Books we love, books we hate. Now the bookish things.
And we're often joined by our friends Georgia and Mashuda and Amelia. But today it's the three of us. And we're going to talk about some books and or bookish things.
Yep.
So why don't we start off with Fatia? What book do you have to talk about today?
I have a book to talk about. I'm going to the title. Green. Sea green, lime green, pea green, so green.
I think I know the book that you're reading where it has different names of kinds of greens, and it has really beautiful illustration of those greens, or kind of explores the different color that make up green or that qualify as green.
I'm going to show you.
Ooh, it's a beautiful forest green. Mm-hmm. You see some trees, a lot of trees with a green up top. Sea green, the sea turtle. There's other colors too, though, because there's the color of the coral, and the sea turtle has a little white in them too. So can you tell me in that book, which is your favorite color of green? Like, what's your favorite page?
My favorite page is this one. The color.
What's the color on that one?
On that one has
it says wacky green. Wacky green. There's green grass, but it looks like it's a zebra with green stripes instead of black stripes.
Yes. Yeah.
That's what makes it wacky.
It's eating some grass. You know why it's green? Because it eats grass.
And so it turns its stripes green.
Mm-hmm. Oh, And it's my pet zebra that is in a picture, Rocky Green.
Rocky Green.
That's his name.
So for our listeners, I just wanted to mention that this book is by Laura Vaccaro Seeger. And there's also books, which I don't know if you know this, Fatia, but there's other books in the series. There's also Blue, and I think the Red. Yeah, there's Red. I don't know. I'm assuming she's going to do more colors. Maybe she'll have a whole rainbow collection.
Look at the flower here. The flower turns into a butterfly. It might look like a butterfly. It looks like a butterfly now, right? A shape of a butterfly.
Yeah, there's a flower behind the zebra in this picture for our listeners that can't see it. And it does look a little bit like a butterfly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Very nice. I could see you making a book like that.
But I never made a book like this before.
Yeah, I think you could make a really nice one.
Wait, I did not show you this page. It's not the last paper. It has so much green.
So much green. Do you have a favorite green, Fahim?
That's a tough one because green is one of my favorite colors. I guess I kind of like all of them.
I'm pretty sure this one is his favorite. This one.
Nice one. I like greens too.
I kind of love all of them. So I guess dark green, if I have to choose one.
I want to show Fahim all green.
Well, the good thing is he lives with you. So when he gets home, he can see all of the pictures live and in person.
Yeah, I like these kind of books a lot. They're a couple of cutoffs and you can turn the pages and then there's a different picture. I feel like for like younger ages, it's like very fascinating.
Yeah. And for our listeners, you can check out these books from the library. So yeah. If you're not lucky enough to have one like Fatia is, you can borrow it from the library. Hooray.
This is not green though. This page is not green, it's white. It says no green. A star,
no green.
No.
Oh, because of all the snow.
Moon is a ball. Look, I can't get out.
Well, that reminds me, one of my favorite things about the spring is when winter, everything is like white and gray and brown. You know, it's dark, except for berries. Berries are nice and red. But the trees, you know, aside from the pines, they all lose their leaves. And so I love that time in the spring when all of the trees come back to life, or their leaves come back to life. Trees are still alive. That they sprout their leaves and all of a sudden you're just surrounded by green and it's so nice. Thank you so much for sharing that book, Fatia. It's really lovely. And I hope you get to read some of the other ones if you haven't yet. Why don't we hear from Fahim now?
So I have decided to start a new series by Rick Riordan. It's called The Trails of Apollo. I've read like a lot of his books, Percy Jackson series, half of The Heroes of Olympus, King Chronicles. He has other books as well. I've read like a lot of his books. It's the first book in the series that I've started called The Trials of Apollo. It's about Apollo, who's like the lord of like the sun. He can control the sun, poetry, music, oracles, a bunch of other things. Yeah, and basically, it starts with, this is like his third time becoming human because, you know, he caused trouble in Mount Olympus and his father Zeus got angry at him, punished him by making him immortal and sending him down to Earth, where he has to live a normal life and he has to find out who his master is, who's the first two times. There was two kings who enslaved him and he had to follow them and listen to their order. Zeus decides that it's enough punishment and decides to turn him into an immortal. And this time, he landed in a garbage disposal outside of like the apartments of New York City. And there he meets people who rob people off of like alleyways and everything. So he's in the alleyway and he doesn't know what is going on. He has a new, completely different form. He's like immortal form. Like immortal form, he's like all like muscular. He has like an 8-pack. He knows archery. He's basically, he just blind. But in his human form, he just looks at himself. He's like disgusted. He's like, why do I look like this? I should not be like this. Like he's like scared that he has acne. He's scared that he's like mortal. And then basically two people come up to him and start robbing him and beating him up. At first he's like, he's just gonna turn them into dust because that's the power he kind of has. He's to turn enemies and people he doesn't like to dust or anything he wants. You can basically, it's a part of the sun, so you can easily just burn them by just looking at them. But it didn't work for him. He just gets beat up. He's like, I'm Lord Apollo. You better apologize. But, well, they don't listen to him, obviously. Because that just sounds stupid. When you, like, because he looks human, they won't believe that. And he doesn't have any powers to show that, prove that. But girl from one of the apartment buildings throws garbage and, like, other, like, peeled fruits, like, wasted fruits, like apple cores and, like, banana peels at them. And then it stings them, and then they run away. And then her name is Maggie McCaffrey. She becomes the master of Apollo. And now he has to follow whatever she says and whatever she wants him to do. And if he doesn't, he doesn't become immortal. So that's his trials. That's why it's called trials, because that's how he has tests and all these other things he needs to follow and do in order to go back to Mount Olympus, become the Lord Apollo. And his human name is like Lester. His last name is very hard to say. It's like Papadopoulos, something like that. And then basically he just, in the first book, he's just like discovering like humanity. Like he's just surprised how humans aren't like as arrogant and as like, I guess like as a jerk as him. Because like he's just thinking, why couldn't, like he's like expecting humans to celebrate that he's here. But like at the same time, like humans don't know that he's Apollo. And like he's expecting like other like heroes and sister Artemis to come and save him, sacrifice their lives for him. And then like he realizes that like due to humans' hope and faith, like they can survive, even though they can live only up to 100 years, unlike him, who can live up to forever. They still like survive. And so like he discovers that, and like throughout the book, he just like finds more about himself, finds more about Meg, more about people around him. And basically, just like other series by Rick Riordan, you know, he used to escape from monsters, he escaped from like evil and try to get all the oracles back. Because, well, the plot of the, I don't think it's spoiling, it's like, it's called the Hidden Oracle. Yeah, like, because he needs to discover all these oracles and get them back and control them. Yeah, I guess get them back because evil are rising. Evil meaning like people that he knows, like from the Roman times, from the like million years ago that he knows, they have like come back to alive and they're evil and they're trying to basically take over fate and like, I guess, the future overall, so that no one has future only, and only they can decide what happens next. And so that's his quest. And basically he just learns more, and like the reader learns more and more about his past. Like there are like multiple like books that like talks about like, you know, the Olympians, the Apollo. It just talks about how he's like, so like he's such a good archer. He killed Python with just one shot of arrow. But like in this chapter book, it talks more about like the hardship he had to face in order to kill Python. And Python's like one of his like worst enemies. And Python has now come back to alive as well. And now he has to fight all of these monsters and all of these kings and everything. They came from the dead, who want him dead, because they died because of him. So now he's mortal, so he doesn't have any powers. Now he has to figure out how to go through his quest and just, I guess, get all the oracles back, save everyone. And when he's expecting people to save him, because that's what really happened during his like divine days. Yeah, and basically just goes through this quest, like Percy Jackson or the Heroes of Olympus. Like the characters there, how they want to quest to like save the world, to discover themselves, to discover their full power, their full identity. And that's what he's doing. And he discovers more and more about himself. And it just, and this book also gives more and more information about the Olympian Apollo. Like he's saying like how it's not like he's a lord of like archery and everything. It doesn't mean that one shot of an arrow just can kill anything. Like he just goes depth of like, oh, how hard it is, how his life is, and basically like the consequences he has to face afterwards and everything. So yeah, that's the first book of Tales of Apollo by Rick Riordan. I'm reading the second book now, I'm almost done with it. The listeners should check it out.
Sounds very exciting. I've heard good things about that series. Have you read the other Rick Riordan series?
Yeah, I've read all the Percy Jackson series, the almost all of Heroes of Olympus series, almost all of the Kane Chronicles series except for the last book, almost all the Magnus J series except for the last book, and there might be more, but yeah, I'm getting there. I'm almost reading all of his books.
How does this one compare to those?
I feel like this one has more humor, has more of like an arrogant person who's like, you know, I'm more powerful, I can do everything, transforming into like a human teen who's like, okay, now I'm scared. I don't want to go near this monster. I don't want to kill myself. It just like change of his voice tone. Like when he was Apollo, he's like, you cannot touch me. I'm like, I have the power of the sun, I can burn you. But now he's immortal. He can't do that. So he has to find other ways to like to escape from or like win battles against other monsters and evil spirits. Yeah,
that one sounds, I haven't read Rick Riordan before, but that series sounds really good. And then I also, it's not by him, but he has an imprint called like Rick Riordan Presents, I think. And it has sort of diverse stories from different cultures around the world written by different authors.
Yeah.
And they all sound really good.
Yep. You should really start reading that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You think I should read this one?
Yeah,
you just talked about
this one. Yeah. But I feel like if you start from Percy Jackson, it will kind of connect it to it. Because like it connects to Percy Jackson a lot more than the other series. But yeah. And also like, you know, overall Rick Riordan kind of does a good job. Like it's these are from mythologies, right? So like one, like for example, Apollo can resemble Ra of Egypt. And like of like Ra can he can also like resemble like of a sun lord from like a different mythology, from a different like a civilization. Basically, like in this book, it just connects all these mythologies come together. Like some people see Apollo as a different way. Like for Egyptians, they would see Apollo as Ra. Greeks would see him as Apollo. And like Romans would see him as a different way, as a different deity. And just basically saying, and it basically just like shows like, this belief that all these, like, I guess, deities are basically like the same kind of figures, but everyone has a different belief and different visuals of what they look like.
Great. Thank you for sharing that. I have a book I can share as well. I just finished this weekend. It is called I Am Not Starfire by Mariko Tamaki and Yoshi Yoshitani. And it's a graphic novel for teens. And it is, I guess the characters, it's from DC Comics, and I am less familiar with the DC universe. Like I know some of the like big players, but I don't know a lot of these characters. So like, I didn't know who Starfire was.
Well, I think
maybe Fahim knows.
Yeah, I think Starfire is a member of the Teen Titans. Mm-hmm. So like, you know how there's like the Justice League? They're like the teenage version of them. Starfire is like an alien.
Got it. So in this book, Starfire is actually an adult and has a teenage daughter.
Oh.
And so the protagonist is the teenage daughter. And I will read the description for this one. From New York Times bestselling author Mariko Tamaki and artist Yoshi Yoshitani comes a story about Mandy, the daughter of super famous superhero Starfire, and her desperate attempts to get out from under her shadow. 17-year-old Mandy Coriander is not her mother. Daughter of Starfire and high school outcast, Mandy is constantly trying to get out from under the shadow of her bright, bubbly, scantily clad, and famous mother. Dyeing her bright orange hair black and sticking close to her best friend, Lincoln, Mandy spends her days at school avoiding Teen Titans superfans and trying to hide her feelings for the gorgeous, popular, and perfect Claire. And while Mandy usually avoids spending too much time with her alien mother, she's been particularly quiet as she's keeping one major secret from her. Mandy walked out of her SAT. While Mandy continues to tell Lincoln her plans of moving to France to escape the family spotlight and not go to college, she secretly hides a fear of not knowing her identity outside of just being the daughter of a superhero and who she will become. But when she is partnered with Claire to work on a school project, their friendship develops into something more, and a self-confidence unknown to Mandy begins to bloom. Claire seems to like Mandy for being Mandy, not the daughter of Starfire. But when someone from Starfire's past comes to disrupt Mandy's future, Mandy must finally make a choice. Give up before the battle has even begun, or step into the unknown and risk everything. I Am Not Starfire is a story about mother-daughter relationship, embracing where you come from while finding your own identity, and learning to be unafraid of failing, if it was even failing in the first place. And yeah, for a graphic novel about superheroes, or potential superheroes, that I didn't really know anything about, I found it really fun and engaging of a read. I think I was more interested in her school life and her friendship with Lincoln than I was in her relationship with her mother. I think it's maybe because they handled that part a little bit better. I think the relationship with the mother could potentially be more developed in a future book, if there are future books, because I feel like a lot of this one was around her struggles in her relationship with her mother and sort of their like disconnected aspect of their relationship. And so it made it hard to really explore their relationship, if that makes sense. But I thought it had a very nice look to it. I like the art. I don't think I've ever read anything by Yoshi Yoshitani, the illustrator for this book. I have read books by Mariko Tamaki, who I've enjoyed their past works. But yeah, I think it's a nice, interesting teenage superhero story that has a mix of superhero aspects and non.
Yeah, sounds amazing.
Yeah, I think it's pretty fun. I noticed that I read this as a preview copy and the library editions have not come in yet. So it is out. So people that want to read it can go out and purchase it, or they can place their hold on a library copy. But as of the time we are doing the show, the library copies have not arrived and been processed. So you might have to wait a little while to read it. But you want to check out sort of a less central DC Comics character, meet Mandy and her mom, Starfire. Check it out. So that's I Am Not Starfire.
Yeah. Oh, and Miss Emily, if I just want to say that, like, the I Know DC Superhero Girls, like, I watch them.
Oh, cool. Do you have a favorite?
My favorite is Starfire.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Cool.
I know how she looks because I watch them a lot. They're my favorites.
Yeah, but she might look different in this comic, though. I'm going to show if I can find a good picture of her that's not a spoiler. Oh, here. You see her?
Yeah, I can see it. She, like, Starfire looks different now.
Yeah, because I think in the show you watch, she's probably a teenager, huh?
Yeah, when the show I watch, Starfire is a teenager.
Yeah, so now she's a mom, and that's her daughter.
Wait, what? Is that her daughter?
With the black hair, yeah.
That's weird because I did not know that. But is like Starfire's daughter a human?
Well, we don't know.
Well, then
at least at the start of the book, she has no powers. But I'm not going to say if anything happens. Well, that is it for today. We hope everyone out there listening has a really wonderful week filled with quality reading time. And we'll be back next week to talk about some more books. Until then, happy reading.
Bye.
Why?